Well, this morning we're picking up right where we left off last week in Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. Last week we were also in chapter 2, and we were talking about being made alive in Christ, coming alive in Him when He comes into our lives. There may be differing definitions of what it means to be a good person or what it means to be a bad person, and we talked a little bit about this, but this is beside the point. This is not the framework that Paul is operating in when he's in this letter, what he's talking about here. Rather, before we come to know Christ in our lives, we're dead in our sins and in our trespasses, but then when we meet Christ, we come alive. We're first dead in our sins, but then we come alive in Him because of God's grace and mercy towards us. We're made new. We're made alive in Him by staying connected to Jesus, who is the vine, and we are the branches, so that we can grow and we can bear much fruit. So today we begin right at verse 6, right where we left off last time, the very next verse where we left off, and it says here, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." And there's that phrase that Paul loves to use all throughout his writings, "in Christ." And we meet this phrase a few times, just in these few verses we're looking at today. This is central to his teaching. He uses this all over his writings, "in Christ." And Paul focuses our attention on Christ here, who is where? Where is He? He's up in the heavenly realms, up in the heavenly places. He's the risen Christ, the ascended Christ, ruling from there, having taken His rightful place as ruler in the highest heavens. Christ is risen. He's victorious. He's the risen Christ, ascended. And we're in the Easter season right now, if you remember, and it's the post-resurrection period that we're in right now, and this is what it's all about. Christ is the risen, ascended Christ. He's ascended to heaven to go back to the Father, and that is where He is now in His exalted role as ruler of all. If you remember back in verse 2 of this passage, Paul referred to Satan as being the ruler of the kingdom of the air, holding dominion over his evil spiritual kingdom that exists also above the earth but below Christ's heavenly kingdom. And before we come to know Christ, we belong to this kingdom, this dark kingdom, and we're ruled by it and by its spirit that's at work in the world, as Paul describes there, causing us to be disobedient to God. But Paul says, God raised us up. He raised us up with Christ. And this is another image of coming alive in Christ, being born again, renewed by Him, given a new lease on life. It's a spiritual resurrection in our lives right now, spiritually, but also at the same time, it's a preview. It's also a promise of what's to come, when we experience the bodily resurrection that will happen one day. And now, having been saved by Christ, His Spirit now dwells in us, and so spiritually we transcend Satan's evil spiritual kingdom up to the kingdom of Christ, up into the highest heaven. As Paul says elsewhere, in his letter to the Colossians, he says, "For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son, whom He loves, and in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The Spirit comes to live inside of us when Christ enters into our lives. He saves us. And this Spirit is a spirit that originates from the heavenly places, from the heavenly realms where Christ is, as Paul's talking about here. The Spirit's home is there. But God sends His Spirit to us to come here, to dwell upon the earth, and to live inside of us here. while we live here on this earth and in this crazy world where we find ourselves. So we got two things going on here. We have two things existing simultaneously. We have the temporal, and we also have the eternal. Both are present at the same time. Both exist together as we live, as this world marches on. Once we are in Christ and God's Spirit comes to live in us, making us alive in Him, alive in Christ, then our true eternal home is now in the heavenly places, in the heavenly realms with Christ seated there. And what this means is that we become even more aware now of the temporary nature of things, the temporary nature of our earthly lives and of this world. And this is a good thing. It's good that we become aware of this so that we can learn to have a more eternal perspective on things, to begin to see things from God's point of view. I shared a little bit about this before, but when I went off to university, I went somewhere that was pretty far away from home. I had to travel all the way across the Pacific Ocean to go to school. And after school, I also stayed there and lived there for some time. And this was a pretty different place from what I was used to growing up. And it was a different culture, a different mentality. It was still within the U.S., but it was a different way of life over there. And it wasn't something I was used to. I had to get used to it. But while I was at school, I really loved it when I would receive a care package from home, you know, from my family or from a friend at home, and I just got so excited when I received some kind of gift, some goodies, right? Why? Because it came from home, right? It came from a place that meant something to me. It was who I am, and I got all kinds of goodies in there, all the favorite foods and snacks that I love that you can't get. I can't get that where I was living. And so I would get so excited, and this is so meaningful for me because of where it came from. And I also get little handy things that would, you know, was useful to use while I was there. And it came from home. Right, that was the main thing. It came from home. It reminded me of home and you know, who I am, you know, shaped by that. And I'm receiving this package while I'm living temporarily in the place where I'm going to school and in that place. Well, in a similar way, Paul is speaking along these lines. He's telling us that when we are in Christ, we gain a new identity in Him. And it's an identity that's now associated with our true home in heaven, our eternal home, where Christ is in heaven, in the heavenly places. And from there, all these blessings come our way. All these blessings come from our spiritual home, from the heavenly places, from Christ. And these heavenly, eternal blessings come to us because of who we are in Christ. And that's what makes it meaningful for us while we are living temporarily here on earth. And so we love to receive the goodie bags of blessings that come to us, that come down to us from our eternal home, from our spiritual home up in heaven. And while we are over here. And this goodie bag, we might call it, this care package, is full of all kinds of great stuff. Being loved and accepted by God. Forgiveness of sins. Being adopted into God's family. Being called one of His children. How about godly wisdom and insight to have in this life, to be able to navigate through this life? That comes from above. To be able to make good decisions, right? How about healing? Healing in our lives, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. All the fruits of the Spirit are in this care package that comes in, including joy, having peace of mind. And of course, there's hope. There's hope for the future, to look ahead. Hope in this world, the brighter future that we have in God. What a wonderful blessing to have. And there's so much more in this goodie bag of blessings that we receive from our eternal home. all these blessings belong to God's salvation care package, we might want to call it. We receive all these things because we are in Christ, whom God sends to us so that we can receive this salvation. And all of this was sent to us. Why? Why do we receive this? Because we earn it? Because we deserve it? Because we work so hard for it? Because God owes it to us for some reason? No. And how was it sent to us? How did we get it? We first sent in our payment, right? And then we received the package, right? No. It's just not how it works. None of this. This may be how we do things here in the business of our world today. This may be how we do things, but this is not God's way of salvation. It doesn't work like that. And Paul gives us a helpful description and answer right here in verse 8 when he says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." See, actually, in the first place, we're not deserving of anything from God because of our sinful condition. What we actually do deserve from Him is His righteous judgment and punishment. That's really what we should be receiving from a holy and righteous God. But instead, by God's unmerited grace towards us, He has mercy upon us. He chooses love instead of condemnation. Instead, He saves us from His rightful anger and judgment and punishment, and we receive instead the kindness of God, not as a result of any effort on our part, nor any intelligent choice on our part, nor any act of kind service on our part. And for a Jewish person, whom Paul is also speaking to in this passage, no longer by the works of the law. No, it's all entirely a gift. It's a freely given gift. A generous gift. And when I would receive those care packages when I was in school, there wasn't this expectation on me that I have to call and say, "Okay, thank you for the package. So how much do I owe you now? How much did this cost? I'll send the money home." You know, that wasn't the whole idea, right? If I was thinking like that, or if that was the expectation, then it was no longer a gift. It was no longer a gift if payment was expected from me, right? Of course, when I would go home for break, you know, I try to bring some gifts from where I was, right? Out of gratitude and to share. Also return some of the kindness, but the idea here is not that I'm trying to earn my package that I receive or I'm trying to pay for it. That's not the idea, right? It's a gift. And the response is simply, "Thank you. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for your kindness, for thinking of me." But sometimes do we try to work our way to God sometimes? As if our salvation depends on us in some way? At least partially, we might think that we need to work our way to God. We have to let this go. We have to accept this if this is really going to be received as a gift from God. Last week, if you recall, we also talked about how Paul's teachings are actually very much grounded in Jesus' teachings. And this is contrary to criticism that Paul receives, that he kind of runs off and creates his own brand of Christianity and just kind of leaves Jesus behind and that his teachings are disconnected from Jesus' teaching. But this really isn't the case, and we were talking about this last time, but that Paul actually builds his teachings on what Jesus taught. If you really pay attention to what Paul is trying to say, he may develop it in different ways, which is definitely what he does, but because of who he's ministering to and the context he's ministering to in, but very much the teachings of Jesus and Paul are very much in close association with each other. And Jesus, as we know, uses this image of a vine and its branches to illustrate what it means to abide in him. And Paul takes this up, and he's been talking about this, about being spiritually alive, first being spiritually dead, but being spiritually alive, and we're dead when we're disconnected from Christ. But then we come alive when we're connected to him, when we're connected to the vine, and we're made alive that way, when we are in Christ that way. But see, Paul takes this even further. He takes this image even a little further. He stays true to Jesus, but he takes it further. Paul uses this image of branches of a plant, in another part of his writings, in the book of Romans, chapter 11. And here he talks about branches that are grafted in. They're branches, but ingrafted branches. Let's take a look at this. So here in Romans 11, 17 and 18, he says, "If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but rather the root supports you." So here in Romans, Paul is using the same concept of branches being connected to the main plant. Here, in this case, it's an olive tree, but here he's using the image of an olive tree in the sense that God is the gardener that comes and breaks off branches that are not bearing fruit from in this tree, and instead he attaches, through grafting, wild olive shoots to this main plant, to the main root. And the gardener tends to it very carefully, cares for these delicate new branches, making sure they get the nourishment they need to survive and thrive. So first we have the image that Jesus gives us of a grapevine and its branches to illustrate abiding in Christ. And then we have this image from Paul, right? In both images, we are the branches. We are the branches being connected. But we have this image from Paul that kind of is alongside Jesus' image here. And here Paul talks about an olive tree with its branches that have been grafted in. Branches that were not original to the plant or naturally grown from the main trunk of the tree, but rather grafted in. And these ingrafted branches are you and me. And Paul is talking here in this context in Romans about Gentiles and Jews, that we are Gentiles, we are the non-Jews, and we are, this is where our Gentile foreigner status comes into play, kind of works here, because the original branches of the tree that were broken off are the Jewish people. These branches were not producing fruit because of their unbelief in Jesus. And so the gardener came and broke off these branches to make room for new branches, other branches that would then be attached and grafted in. And these will bear fruit. These branches are the Gentiles, like you and me, coming in by having faith in Christ, receiving it by faith. Faith in Jesus here. So Paul wants us to see ourselves as coming into the family of God as ingrafted branches. And the family of God is represented by the olive tree here. And there are implications for abiding in Christ and what that means when we come in as ingrafted branches. Going back to Ephesians 2, Paul says, for by grace you have been saved by faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not your own doing. It's not because of your works. It's not because of what you do. It's rather a gift of God, so that no one can brag about it. No one can boast. Nobody can say, well, I got myself here with God. And this is where Paul's image here of being ingrafted branches is helpful. As ingrafted branches, we do not originally belong to the main tree, to the main trunk. this is the people of God. This is the Jewish people. We were more like wild olive shoots that were on the outside, that were not originally part of it. That's why we're called Gentiles. We're the outsiders. We're not Jewish. We're not originally God's chosen people. But God, in his rich mercies, because he loves us, by his grace, he brings us in. He takes us up just as we are, and he brings us in. He brings us close. He brings us near. And then he connects us to the main plant, saving us from withering up, saving us from dying, because we're now connected to the main root, to the main tree, and this is Christ. And by being connected, we can now receive the nourishment we need, the food from the plant. And as a result, what happens? We come alive. We come alive. We take in that nourishment, and we're no longer withering away. And this withering and dying process happens because we're detached. We're detached from Christ. But instead, we now grow, we begin to flower, and we produce fruit, more and more of it. Coming alive, we flourish in him. And this wonderful thing happens because we take this step of faith. We're saved by faith in him, and we receive it as a gift by faith. It's by believing in Jesus, by trusting in him, allowing the Father to take us up, the Father who is the great gardener, to take us up and connect us to the life-giving tree. And when we surrender ourselves to him, we're saying to God, God, connect me. Connect me to Christ. Connect me to you. And don't ever let me become detached. Let me stay connected to you. And remember Jesus' words, remain in me. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. God, connect me to you. Bring me into you, and don't let me go. And when we say these words, we are showing faith. We're showing faith in Christ, and this is the saving faith that brings us into relationship with him, an abiding, an eternal relationship with him. It also refreshes an already existing relationship that we may have. But at the same time, the whole idea here is that we have to remember that we are engrafted branches in this whole thing. And this keeps us humble, keeps us from not bragging about, keeps us from, you know, from the boasting that Paul is talking about here, boasting in our own efforts, that I got myself here with God, that none of us can boast, as Paul says. None of us can say we got ourselves here on our own, by whatever we did. No, rather it's this image of God gently bringing us in and grafting us in to the family of God, that we are the ones supported by the roots, not the other way around. In order to stay alive, in order to receive the nourishment, we need to be connected, and God connects us to the vine and to the plant. And so in this way, it's very much a gift that we receive. And we simply say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for thinking of me. Thank you for coming to me, loving me, and graciously giving me this gift that I have in you. Finally, Paul ends this passage with, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, there's that phrase again. To do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And the images that we've been using here, we've been seeing here of a vine, grapevine and its branches, and an olive tree and its ingrafted branches, these illustrate that when we take a step back and we look at the entire tree, the entire vine that's flowering and flourishing, we say, wow, Look at that. That's a work of art. It's a masterpiece. The work of a great gardener creating this. It's his workmanship, and that's us. God, the great gardener, is carefully tending these plants and cultivating them so that they'll flourish, they'll grow, and they'll come alive. And this is us that he's working on. He works hard to create a thriving vine and olive tree, and we are all a part of this. God's caring for us in this way, and in this way we are bigger. We're part of something that's bigger than us. We might be one little branch, but there's so much more. And when we take a step back, we look at this beautiful work of art that God is creating and that we get to be a part of this. We are his workmanship in this, his masterpiece. We are the branches that produce wonderful, beautiful fruit in our lives for God. We're doing this for him as the great gardener. God's doing a great work in us so that we can do good works out of gratitude for the gift that we've received, for the goodie bags of blessings that we receive. This is the salvation that we have as a gift from God. It's not to earn our way to God in any way by doing good works. Rather, it's God who defines what good works are, and good works are the fruit that naturally grows out of abiding in the vine and being in the vine. It's not something that we do on our own. We can never earn a relationship with God. It just doesn't work with the imagery that we have here in these passages. We're created in Christ Jesus, as Paul says here, and we can just as well say that we are recreated. We are recreated in Christ Jesus because we're coming alive. We're wild olive shoots that have been grafted in, and then we come alive and once again grow into a beautiful, flourishing plant that produces much fruit. We are the branches that have been newly connected to the plant. This gives us new life, making us alive in Christ. We show this. We show this through the fruit we produce, the good works. We show who we belong to, and we show where our true heavenly and eternal home is. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for coming to us and taking us up and bringing us in through your mercies and through your loving kindness. Just as we are, you take us and you graft us in. You bring us into the family of God. You bring us into this beautiful olive tree, this grapevine that you are cultivating. And we thank you that we can produce fruit for you. Father, we pray that we can be nourished in our relationship with you, that we can receive the nourishment we need so that we can continue in you, we can abide in you and remain in you. Thank you for these images we have to help us understand what it means to abide in Christ and to come alive in our lives through you. We pray, Lord, that we can continue to walk by your Spirit that you so graciously give to us. And we pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.